Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What do these activities and aspirations have in common with each other? What English phrase might we use that would really connect them all together? Let's look at the first one. I'm not going to care what others think about me. Maybe you've said this, I'm going to stick to my diet this time and say no to carbs. Maybe you've told a spouse, I'm going to get up early today and go to the gym before work. Or maybe in college you said, I'm not going to procrastinate this time. Maybe you say, I'm going to save more money this pay period. Or maybe last of all, I'm just going to get over it and I'm just going to move on. These are all good activities and aspirations, but what do they all have in common? It's this: doing them is certainly easier said than done. As much as we would hate to admit, we still care what people think. That ice cream sundae with a cherry on top looks better than the healthy alternative. We might think, I'll start saving next paycheck, but then you go to the store and that object does look pretty neat. There are a lot of things in life that are just easier said than done. And our Lord's first words in our gospel text this morning can be included in that list. Jesus says, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Don't be anxious about your life. Don't worry at all. Isn't that easier said than done? What do you worry about in your life? The list could be endless, I suppose, and for everyone, it's certainly different. But what's on your list? Is it health? Maybe your own, or the health of a loved one or a close friend? Is it money or your retirement fund or your stock portfolio? Worry about your kids or your grandkids and their well-being. Do you worry about an aging mom or dad or one poor in health? Does your work keep you up at night with the worry that your job isn't permanent? We all have worries in our lives, and it seems to be part of the human experience. But despite this, Jesus says, don't be anxious about your life. And he's not alone in saying that. Professionals from every field of human care will tell you the same thing. Can be a life coach, a counselor, a psychologist, a pastor, a doctor, you name it. Stress and anxiety is not good for us, and it's not good for our bodies. It can give us ulcers and upset stomachs. It can create sleep problems, sore bodies, and strained relationships. It can lead to depression and drug abuse. Worry is not good for us. That's also useless and senseless. Worry doesn't help us cope with things. It doesn't prevent bad things. It doesn't help us solve problems. It doesn't motivate us or prepare us for anything. Experts on worry say that 92% of the things that we worry about are things that won't happen, are things that we have no control over. Worry only ruins our life. It steals our joy and tarnishes today. Jesus says it best when he says, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his life? If you can't do such a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Worry doesn't help with our health nor make it better. It doesn't solve the worries we have about our family. It doesn't solve job problems or put money in the bank account. Worry is useless and senseless. And Jesus says worry is also wrong. Deep down inside, we know worry is not good for us spiritually. Worry is a sin against the first commandment. You shall have no other gods. When we worry, we don't fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And in fact, the word worry literally means this. It means lifting yourself up. Ironically, in our anxiety lifts us up to be in the place of God, as if we could control what would happen in the future. We end up exalting ourselves to be our own gods, and we think our provision and livelihood is all up to us. No wonder we can be stressed and anxious. That would be a scary thought, wouldn't it, if it was up to us? But sadly, the fact that it's not good for us physically or spiritually doesn't stop us from worrying. The fact that it's useless and senseless doesn't prevent worry either. And so Jesus shows us God's care. And he uses two examples in the world around us to teach and to comfort us. He says, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They neither have storehouse nor barn. And yet, God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? The raven was a scavenger and was considered a careless bird that would even fail to return to its nest at night. If God takes care of a lowly creature like a raven, won't he surely care for you? The crown of his creation, a person whom Jesus bled and died for, he won't forget about you. He won't abandon you. Every time we see a bird in the sky, we can be reminded of God's care for us. And so he moves from the sky above to the ground below, and he moves to a flower. Jesus says, consider the lilies. They grow, they neither toil nor spin, yet even Solomon in all of his splendor was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive today and thrown tomorrow into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Flowers, by their beauty, praise their creator. Jesus essentially says with these two examples, he says, when you see my creation, don't you see my Father's care? Don't you see the concern my Father has for everything around you? Then certainly my Father is concerned for you as well. Jesus uses his creation to remind and encourage us to let God be God and to let us be his trusting creatures. But this ongoing display of God's care sometimes still doesn't stop us from worrying. And so Jesus gets to the root of the problem. He says the real reason for our worry stems from that we're seeking the wrong things. Our anxiety just proves our misdirection. As humans, we can seek peace of mind in all of the wrong places. But Jesus says, and do not seek what you are to eat or to drink, nor be worried. For the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows you need them. Instead, seek first his kingdom, and these things will be added to you as well. Jesus calls us to repent of our false seeking and the trust in him. That includes worries for our families, worries about finances in the future. But even acknowledging that we're seeking the wrong thing still doesn't stop us from worrying, does it? The fact that it's bad for our bodies and lives doesn't. The fact it's futile doesn't either. So what's the deal? What does? It's this. God breaking into our worrying world with his kingdom is what takes our worry away. The king of the world entered into our place of worry. Jesus lacked food in the desert for 40 days. He lacked a place to lay his head. He had no place to call home. Jesus lived with all the reasons for worry, but lived a perfect worry-free life for you and for me. He didn't sin. And at last, the king of the world had nothing to eat, and at the cross, he thirsted. He was stripped of every bit of clothing, so that unlike the flowers, he had no beauty that we should desire him. When Jesus had nothing, when everything was taken from him, Jesus gave us everything. The only and real reason to worry is this. I'm sorry. The only real reason not to worry is this. It's that it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom of Jesus is ours, not by our work, not by our worrying, but by his cross and his rising to live for us. It's a gift he loves to give a gift that he gives you. Through your baptism, the kingdom of Jesus is ours, even when we worry, because of his grace. And this kingdom will change our freedom, will change our worry to freedom to share, to give, to store up real treasure in heaven that we don't have to worry about. In repentance, we name our anxiety as idolatry and receive our Lord's forgiveness for those things. Stress over your job, you're justified in Christ. Anxiety over an adolescence or aging parents, you are absolved. Worry over your finances, you are forgiven. The King will come again. By the grace of God, we'll be waiting for him to enter the fullness of his kingdom forever. So there, no worries. But that is easier said than done, isn't it? And while we'll always have things in this world that will worry us, and while we sometimes just can't stop worrying, ours is the kingdom in which the King takes our worry away. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who gives you his kingdom. Amen.